You all are anticipating, I think, Patrick Hoban's ministry to us. Patrick Hoban is a fellow that began coming to our church a long time ago. We'd have him like for every 2 years or so, for maybe a series of three services. And then 12 years ago, he decided to start a church in Algonquin. And all of a sudden, he wasn't available on Sunday mornings, and so we didn't find it as conducive to have him come. But a year ago, he stepped aside from that church, which made him available once again to minister on the road, which is what he used to do. He used to be a traveling evangelist. That's what he did. And I was really glad to know that he was once again going to be available, because he's one of the speakers that we have appreciated over the years. And a number of you who were in the church that long ago remember very distinct things that God did in your life through him. Just in the past few weeks, I've heard, four people came to me and told me things that happened through his ministry, and I wasn't even asking. People just saying, when Patrick was here, this happened and that happened. And so we remember him with great fondness for those reasons. One of the reasons I love Patrick and always have is he's a man of the Word. If you've been in our church long, you know that I consider myself a man of the Word. I'm very serious about the Word of God, that God gave us a Word that was inspired without error. We can trust it. It speaks to every generation. It's completely true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so it's always been extraordinarily important to me that the Word of God is very central to everything that is preached in this church. And I will never knowingly have a speaker come here if I don't think they have a very high view of the Word of God. If I know it ahead of time, they're not going to be invited, period. Patrick's always had a very high view of the Scripture, and he's one of these people that the Lord moves easily through with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, he's a solid man of the Word. And sometimes you get one or the other, but not both, if you know what I mean, if you've been around. I want both. I want both. Paul told Timothy to watch your life and doctrine closely. He didn't say just watch your doctrine or just watch your experience. It's watch both. Both are important. Both are critical. And we've always seen both in Patrick. He's also a person that lives the Word of God. I've known him for a long time. I've seen him go through things, and I've never seen him not be consistent in his following after Jesus. And so he's the kind of person that I can easily commend to you and say, open your heart to what the Lord would say to you through him, and also open your heart to how the Lord would move through him to touch your life in some very powerful way. I hope you have an expectation today of Jesus meeting you in a distinct and different and unique and powerful kind of way. Can you say amen to that as a way of saying, yes, you are in agreement with me? Okay, it's awesome. Patrick, why don't you come, make yourself at home. Oh, boy.
Are we good to go? Have I got my switch on or off? Now? Okay, great. Well.
Water, I'm so used to preaching, I left my water.
Oh. Well, first of all, let's pray and then see what God does. Shall we do that? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you that, Lord, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you that, God, it brings life. It also brings judgment. It brings cleaning and pruning. But, Lord, you also said that, Lord, you would confirm your word with signs and gifts of the Holy Spirit following. Lord, we commit this time to you. We know that, God, Lord, we are just but men. But you are God, and we stand here, Lord, committed to your word. And I just pray over today, tomorrow, and Lord, the services that we have, that you will do a work in people's life that they will never forget. I pray that those who have not yet encountered you will come to a real encounter with you. And I pray for those who are struggling in their walk with you, that, Lord, this weekend would be a changing time for them, that they will look back at this weekend and say, that weekend I met with God, and those things in my life that were hindering me are no longer there. So, Father, we commit this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Let's see where this goes. I'm going to be honest with you. I never know what's going to happen when I get behind the pulpit. I really don't know. But I have been very surprised by what God has done. Sometimes I stand in complete amazement at what God does. Now, tonight, with Pastor George's permission, and I really appreciate him coming over, he doesn't look a day older. That's the problem. You know, it's just not fair. But anyway, I appreciate him coming here because I know he's a man of God and he loves his church. He is a true pastor. But tonight, with his permission, I want to show you a video. And I think this video will help you see what somebody like you and me can do for God if we'll take a chance. Because I've had the opportunity to do several crusades around the world. And I don't like to go to places where people are already saved. I like to go to places where they have never heard the gospel. Because that's the most fun in the world. When you can, I'm Irish too, by the way, so if I use fighting analogies, don't worry about it. I'm not a violent man. I said when it comes to the devil, and there's nothing like kicking the teeth in the devil, or kicking the devil's teeth in, especially when you're preaching the gospel. So if you come tonight, you will see the glory of God in action, where we saw at one crusade over five nights, 20,000 people come to know Jesus. Amen. 20,000. Isn't that glorious? And these were not Christians rededicating their life to God. These were Hindus and Muslims coming to know Jesus. We went to an area that had never heard the gospel before. Never heard the gospel before. So we went there. And night after night, we were battling the devil. You could feel that oppression in that place. And we were praying and praying and praying. And the devil was fighting, fighting, fighting. Now, normally what would happen is, after the second night, we'd usually get a miracle or something would happen and just break out. But this time, it was Saturday night. We were four nights into this now, and we still didn't get a breakthrough. And I said, Lord, you got to help me. You got to show me what to do. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and God gave me a strategy. And all of a sudden, the anointing filled that crusade ground, and people got saved and healed and delivered. I never forget, oh man, I'm going a little bit away from my message, but I never forget, I was getting frustrated. You know, I was really just, what in the world is going on here? They, I mean, say nobody's coming forward. They came forward for salvation, but not for miracles or healings or whatever it is. So I remember one night, this Hindu man came running up and he said, I got healed on Thursday night, but I was so scared to come up here. And then he testified. And then a Muslim woman, she got healed. And the Muslim woman said, I've been a Muslim all my life, and now I know I'm the Christ, and our Jesus is the Christ. And I'll tell you one more story, because it was a funny story. I don't like to be distracted when I preach. I like full focus and concentration. So what would happen, you have to remember now, we're out in the middle of nowhere. This is away from cities. This is like in the middle of India someplace. And what happened was people, when they would have to go to the bathroom, they would have to kind of go off into the bushes. There was no porta potties. This was not porta potty place. There was nothing there. I mean, say the hotels was like camping. I remember the first hotel that I went to, I left the lights on because the cockroaches were peeping out. So what happened was they would walk in front of the podium, the stage area. And I said to my good friend, Pastor Stephen, I said, Pastor Stephen, that's just very distracting. can you have the ushers please stop the people from walking in front of the stage area? We're about 12 feet off the ground, huge, like a football field. And he said, no problem at all. Now, they do ushering a little bit different in India. They're not very nice. If you step out of the way, they have, I'm not kidding you, they have sticks. They have long sticks, and they hit people. And I said to Pastor Stephen, I said, Pastor Stephen, the ushers are hitting people. And he said, Pastor Hoban, this is India. I said, all right, if you can get away with it, there's no lawsuits coming our way. Okay. So what happened was they were all standing guard with their sticks like this to stop people from walking in front of the podium. I'm like, this is outrageous. So what happened was there was this woman, she had disheveled hair. She wasn't, they all wear a beautiful saris when they're out there because they come out and they're all dressed up. It's a big occasion. It's like a big festival. So anyway, this woman walked in front of the stage and her hair was all over the place, which is not typical for Indian ladies. She was just wearing this kind of white top and things. And I'm here I am now ready to preach. Right? I'm ready. We're going to get into this gospel message. And she walks right in front of the stage with her hands lifted up like this. And I'm talking and I'm thinking at the same time. I'm thinking, what are the ushers doing? I told them. And then she came all the way up on the stage and walked up the steps. I said, you got to be kidding me. I'm just about to preach. I don't want to cast out any demons right now. It's true. I'm telling you. I said, I don't want to cast out any demons. Because we get a lot of demons over in India. And anyway, Pastor Stephen was there, and he said, he nodded with like this, and then I knew it was a testimony. I said, all right, I'll let one testimony go by, and then I want to preach. So she came up on stage, and she's talking now in Telugu, which is the language in that part of India. And she said, I don't know how I, this is true, I don't know how I got here, but I was demon possessed. It's strange about in India, they know when they're demon possessed. It's strange. So what happened was, she said, but while we were singing the worship music, a light came down from heaven and delivered me from that demon. And she got saved and baptized in the Spirit right there on the stage. Hallelujah to God. So if you come out tonight, I'm not making this up, if you come out tonight, you will see how missions is done in India. And by the grace of God, we planted churches over there. We saw thousands of people saved. And I know that God is going to do even more because he is concerned more about the lost than we are. All right, we have about a half an hour. And from a good pastor friend of mine, he said, when you're in the pulpit, try to be brief and amazing. So with God's grace, let's see what's going to happen. I want you to turn, please, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And I hope I got my verses right. And we're going to start at verse 42. And I'm going to read several passages of Scripture for you. And then we're going to preach on those passages. Acts chapter 27, starting at verse 42. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners. You have to understand now, Paul is on a ship. The ship is going to go down. There were prisoners bringing them to Rome. And the soldiers were going to kill them, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped to the land. Now, what an amazing story. And I think oftentimes we have to reread the word, because most of us and most of people that I would talk to that are not Christians think that the church is meant to be a utopian place where if you put your faith in God, nothing will ever go wrong again. Most people. That's why sometimes people will say, I can't believe that you're a Christian and you would do that. Did you ever hear that one before? Or I can't believe, and the pastor gets it most than most people, because I know I pastored for 12 years. I can't believe the pastor made that mistake. I can't believe the pastor would get angry. I can't believe because when we look at the word, first of all, we don't really know the word. We really don't. We think we know the word. But if we knew the word, we would see that nowhere in the New Testament was it a utopian place. Most of Paul's letters, when he wrote to the Corinthians, wrote to the Galatians, wrote to these people, was a problem-solving matter. With the Corinthians, they had immorality, they were getting drunk, they were greedy. With the Galatians, they were falling away from the gospel. And if you look very closely at Acts, you will see right after Pentecost, where they're all lifting up their hands, praying in the Spirit, having a good old Pentecostal service, they enter into an argument about who gets more food than the other person. So even though it's a Spirit-filled place, and even though we believe in Jesus, and even though there are people called to ministry, and even though they're anointed, and even though we are still dealing with people that began a journey and haven't completely finished it yet. I'll give you one example. We know Paul the Apostle was a great man of God. He wrote most of the New Testament. And Paul and Barnabas were sent out as apostles to plant churches. Now, the Bible says that tremendous miracles happened by the hands of Paul. Unusual miracles. Now, you would think that the man who wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on love would be a loving individual, wouldn't you think? I mean, see, he probably preached that sermon. I would say he probably had a sermon called Love, and he preached it as he went from church to church. Yet we see in the Acts of the Apostles that Barnabas wanted to bring Mark, and Paul said, no, the guy is a lazy so-and-so. He's no good. I don't want him. It got so heated. It wasn't a committee meeting. Let's take a vote on it and see. Amen. Okay. No, Mark, I'm sorry. You can't go. They got into it. They were going to hit one another. It nearly came to blows. You're talking about two apostles going to punch it out in church. Could you imagine Pastor Jones at the back down there with somebody going at it? You know? I bet you sermon would have a lot of people the next Sunday. Hey, there's a fighter in the pulpit. But that's the truth. And if we don't see it like that, we're going to put undue expectations on each other and on the church. And that's where we get offended. We get offended because our expectation isn't met. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
For instance, the council meets together and they're trying to figure out how to deal with the finances, and your project wasn't met. You were putting an expectation on the council that the council was never given by God. That's why marriages sometimes don't get along, because we put an expectation on the other person that the other person was never meant to meet. The only person that will meet all your expectations is Jesus. But even then, we have undue expectations. So let's get into it. Paul, when he became a Christian, was not promised an easy road. Let's look at this. In Acts chapter 9, you know the story. Saul gets saved. He comes to know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Then Saul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, starting at verse 1, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Then he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Now, this was the encounter that Paul the Apostle had with Jesus, getting him on the road here. He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?" So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight. And he neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him." Now, wouldn't you like to be the person that led the Apostle Paul to the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I mean, you say, hey, Paul was traveling around the world, planting churches, writing epistles. You say, hey, well, I led him to the Lord. I mean, you say, he wouldn't be where he's at except for me. Wouldn't that be awesome? Imagine leading Billy Graham to the Lord. Say, I led Billy Graham to the Lord. You know, it would be like that. Except there's another part to the story. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said, 'Go,'" now listen to this, "'for he is a chosen vessel of mine to lift him on high, make him the best apostle ever known to man, and everything from this day forward is going to go good.'" That wasn't the prophecy. Sometimes I wonder about prophecies where it's all good. It's all good. Everything is going to go good with you. God is with you. You never have to worry. It's like when people are in a decision mode. Well, we know it's from God, because the devil wouldn't be fighting so hard if it wasn't from God. And then somebody else would say, well, we know it's from God because everything is going so smooth. Now, which is it? Right? And we cannot make decisions like that. We have to make decisions by the word of God. Now, look at this. And he has authority. But the Lord said to him, "Go, he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake." Suffer. Now, how many people would be like to be called into the ministry like Paul the Apostle? But what about the suffering part of it? Because in this life, you are going to come up against things and you wonder, why is this happening? Who was he? He was ignorant about his calling. You know, you don't know what God has called you to. The devil knows what God has called you to. He knows before you know the things that God wants to do. He doesn't know everything exactly. He's kind of like an idiot savant. Now and again, he has flashes of brilliance, but most of the time he's in the dark. But he knows of an inclination of the calling of God in your life. And he knows how much damage you could cause. So what he wants to do is not just break you down and hinder you. He wants to hinder the calling on your life. The calling. And Paul didn't know about his calling. It took a dramatic event for Paul to wake up and say, you know what? This is real. I'm going to give it 100%. He was called to do great things, but he was also called to suffer. Now, if anybody knew the scriptures, it was Paul the Apostle. I think anybody that can write the book of Romans, going on the book of Isaiah, is pretty smart. He's a pretty bright guy. So he knew the promises of God. But even though he knew the promises of God, it still not exempted him from going through trial. I was brought up in the faith movement for the most part. And the faith movement is good in many areas. You put your faith in the cross for your salvation. That takes faith. Isn't that right? We have access, the Bible says, to this grace by what? Faith. Let me say that again. We have access to this grace. The grace of God is made available to us by faith. So we have to exercise our faith to gain what God has given us. But faith itself does not exempt us from going through the trial. Paul said it. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is what he says. I am an Israelite of Israelites. I am the seed of Abraham. So am I. They are ministers of Christ. I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In debts often. We think we have a bad. But this guy had a bad. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils and toil, in sleeplessness often. Sleeplessness often. He was so challenged, he didn't even get sleep. Were you ever there? Where things are going awry in your life and you can't even sleep. And then what happens is the devil comes along and says, if you were a man or woman of faith, you'd sleep like a baby. So what are you worrying about? And what's even worse else is, I thought you were stronger today. If a brother in Christ comes up to you and said, what are you worried about? But Paul went through sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, cold and nakedness, and besides all the other things as well. They're just the ones he named. And so Paul the Apostle understood that even though he was called of God to go forward, sometimes he would have to do trial. Now, Paul was on this journey. He was going to Rome. The Lord had appeared to him and said to him, you must testify before the Gentiles also. So whose plan was it to bring him to Rome? Was it Paul's plan or God's plan? Anybody? God's plan. Now, did you ever get in a situation where God tells you to do something and you come up against a roadblock and somebody says to you, you know what? You miss God, because if you didn't miss God, you wouldn't be in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, holding on to a piece of driftwood. Isn't that correct? You would be on the shore by now. The shipwreck would have never happened. Because you miss God, you're suffering these things. Anybody say amen? Amen. And it's not true. Sometimes you're in the deep a day and a night, and then another day and another night, and the only thing that you're hanging on to is a piece of driftwood. You can see the shore way down there, and all you have is the driftwood. And the devil is coming to you and say, Paul, why are you serving God still? Look at how much you suffered. Imagine if we went on a missions trip and all of a sudden you run out of money. I did that. I went on a missions trip. I told him, I said, now, we don't want to be too successful. Because every person that would come to the crusade, we had to transport them there. So it was $1.50 per soul. For every soul that was saved, I have to think business too, you know. It cost $1.50. So if I had too many people saved, I would run out of money. So what I would do, this is what I would do, God forgive me, I would hide the money. It would cost me, the last time the crusade, we had 30,000, 36,000 about at the last night. That's a lot of people, 36,000. We had 20,000 decisions for Christ. Now, every time somebody comes for a decision, we give them a Bible. Well, that's, 80 rupees or whatever it is. So I have to figure out in my mind, 20,000 decisions for Christ at $20,000, plus all the transportation, plus get the other guys there. I mean, so my mind was going out like this. So I told him I only had 25,000, but I had 5,000 stashed in a drawer because I knew we'd break all the records. So on a Saturday night, Pastor Stephen came to me and said, I'm sorry, Pastor. We ran out of money. I said, Stephen, I have no money. I didn't lie. I didn't have any money allocated to that yet. I said, well, we have to write IOUs. Here I am on the crusade ground now, and they're writing IOUs to the transportation guys. We owe you 50 rupees, or we owe you, whatever it might be to get the people there. Now, some people would think that I miss God. That they would say, well, if you heard from God, you'd have all the money. There must be something wrong with your faith, or maybe you're not even called to do this, because surely if God had called you, he would supply. Did you ever hear that one? He will supply, but it might take 3 days and 3 nights being in the deep first, holding on to a piece of driftwood. You get what I'm saying? He will supply. The promises are yes and amen. And guess who wrote that? Paul did. Paul said the promises of God are yes and amen. And now he's hanging on to a piece of driftwood in the middle of the Mediterranean thinking, will I ever get to the coastline? Hallelujah. I'm going to preach myself into revival. So maybe that's what you're going through right now. Maybe you believed the promises of God. Maybe you started out on this journey with great faith in God. Maybe you saw tremendous victories in your life. Maybe you had a wonderful highs, but right now you're on a low and you're only holding on to this and you're holding on to it with everything you got, and you're wondering if this thing is going to keep you afloat. Well, let me tell you something. If you keep on holding on to that driftwood, you're eventually going to get to the shore, and you're going to be able to stand up and say, you know what? The promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there's one more thing. Job got it right when Job said this. See, though he slay me, yet I will fear him. Now, was God slaying Job? No, it was the devil that was slaying Job, but his attitude was the right way. I'm going to tell you a little story. I know a man that went through more than a year of real suffering. I would say tremendous spiritual suffering. And this was a man that served God as faithfully as he could for years and years and years and years. God used him tremendously, miracles, healings, salvations, baptisms in the Holy Spirit, all of that. He put his life on the line, at least he thought, for the gospel. Well, something happened, and he was left all alone. There was nobody around him. His children weren't there. His wife weren't there. His church family wasn't there. There was nobody there. And he was hanging on to the driftwood. He was now out in the ocean. He was, "Lord, I believe, but I don't understand." Were you ever there? "I believe, but I don't understand why." Did you ever go through a trial? You put your faith in God. You thought you got that job. You thought whatever, and it didn't happen. You said, "Lord, I believe, but I'm hanging on to dear life. Why?" And this man got an answer from God. And this is where some of you are today. Maybe you're out there in the sea today holding on, waiting to get to the coastline. Maybe you see the coastline. Maybe it gets dark on you. Could you imagine seeing the coastline? And you say, I'm going to get there. And then it gets dark. There's no lights in the Mediterranean back 2,000 years ago. You say, when it got dark, it got dark. You couldn't see a thing. And then the sun rises again. I said, today I'm going to get there. Were you ever there? Today I know I'm going to get the breakthrough. And then the sun sets again. Could you imagine that? Well, the Lord spoke to him. And he said, sometimes in this world, you just get cheated. Remember Uriah. Sometimes in this world, you just get cheated. Remember Uriah, and it all made sense to him. Look at Uriah. Uriah was faithful to his wife, isn't that correct? He was faithful to his king, wasn't that correct? He was faithful to his comrades, isn't that correct? Yet he got murdered, his wife committed adultery on him, and his colleagues sold him out. In this world, sometimes you just get cheated, and that's the answer. But Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because our hope is not just a temporary hope. Our hope is an eternal hope. One day, we're going to see Uriah. And you know what? Uriah will not say, "I made a mistake. I should have killed that son of a gun." Right? Right? Don't tell me you never got angry. You know, that would be, you'd be lying in church. The Bible says be angry, but do not sin, and don't let the sun sleep in your anger. But you know, sometimes you just want to get ticked off at somebody. Wasn't that a lot of freedom right there? But he will stand and say, "You know what? I'm glad I was faithful to my wife. I'm glad I was faithful to my king. I'm glad I was faithful to my colleagues, because you know what? I held on to the driftwood and I got to the other shore." And that's where you're at today. I was praying about this service. I'm praying about tonight's service, praying about tomorrow's service. And I feel the Lord showed me something. I feel that many of you are in a place of stagnancy. It's not that you're a bad person. It's not that you're a wicked person. But you're just in the stagnant place right now. You're in the place where the devil just has a small bit in your life. Just a little thing. And that little thing is hindering you from enjoying the presence of God like he wants you to enjoy. It could be some secret thing that nobody else knows about. It could be lack of complete surrender. It could be unforgiveness. It could be a myriad of things, but you know what it is. It's very easy to know what it is if you don't want to ever tell anybody. If you don't want to tell anybody about it, that's your thing. And God wants to challenge you over these next 3 nights. Or maybe you just got disappointed somehow down the road. But God wants to challenge you today, tonight, and tomorrow. Today is the time to completely surrender that thing in your life. And if you do, He will bless you with the presence of God. Another thing that people are suffering are emotional pain. There's somebody here today, you have a lot of emotional pain and you've tried to not hide it. You're not trying to hide it, but you don't know what to do with it. And let me tell you something, Jesus wants to heal that emotional pain in your life. I don't know whether it was rejection or it was some sort of an adulterous thing that happened to you, or some sort of unfaithfulness, or words were spoken over you in anger, but you got wounded deeply. It's a woman. You got wounded deeply. God wants to heal you and to be able to forgive that person and go free today. There's other people here today, and you're bound up with stuff. There is something in your life that you can't get free of. You tried, and now you've kind of given up. You kind of say, that's who I am. I believe in Jesus. I believe in church, but this is in my life. And God wants to say to you, you know what? You don't have to stay there. I want us to bow our heads for a moment, because I believe God wants to get some stuff resolved this morning. I believe that God wants to move in people's lives like He never moved before. You know, I know a friend of mine, and when God spoke to him one time when he was a young man, he was probably about 17 years of age, and he heard an altar call, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, if you don't respond now, you may never be given the opportunity to respond again. This is your opportunity. If you're somebody in this room, and I believe I'm talking to some of the young men here, if you're somebody in this room this morning and you have put this aside, we don't want to know what it is. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to expose you. That's not the aim. The aim is we don't want the devil to destroy your life and hinder you from what God has called you to do. And we also want you to experience the presence of God on your life. So this morning, what I'd like to do is I would like to ask those people. I'm not going to beg, but I'm telling you right now, if you have that one thing in your life and it's hindering you from fully experiencing the blessing of God, today is the day to get rid of it. Today is the day to confess it. Now, confess simply means this: agree with God. If you're that person, that woman, that had that emotional pain, and you're saying, I want to get rid of this completely, today is a day that Jesus wants to heal you. If you're the somebody today and you feel that an injustice has been done to you, just remember that Uriah had an injustice done to him, and you can forgive. You can actually say, God, I forgive that person. I believe that you can forgive me from holding on to it, and Lord, I know that you can help me forgive them. Or if you're that person and you feel today that you're out there in the deep and you've been hanging on to God for so long and it seems like you never get to shore, today is your day that God wants to encourage you and bless you and fill you with His Spirit. So if that's you, I'm not going to take much time. It's 10:30. What I'd like for you to do, and I'd like if we could have Mark on the keys come up. And I'd like for you to do is to meet with God on your own. The evangelist, me, is not the one that's going to bring deliverance to you. Who's going to bring deliverance and healing and blessing to you is Jesus. And you've got to come to terms with Jesus. Some of you young men, I know there's a struggle on the inside of you, and God wants to set you free today. So, Lord, I just pray right now as the Holy Spirit is ministering to hearts, that, Lord, that you would break through any resistance, any stronghold of the wicked one, any stronghold that would hinder people back. Tomorrow is not the day to deal with this. Today, this morning, is the day to deal with this. This is your day. This is your day to be free. If that's you today, if you're the woman that was hurting in the pain and you want to be healed, if you're the person that has that thing in your life and it's just been eating at you and controlling you and you know you have to get it out, if you're the person holding on to the driftwood or you're the person that was an injustice has been done, I want you to just make your way out of your seat. We're not going to ask you what it is. We're not going to ask you, are you the one that has this problem? Are you the one that has a problem? No, you just want to meet with God today. You know that there's a deeper experience. You know that there's healing. You want to completely surrender to Him. If that's you, I want you to just make your way out. Come on up, take a place at the altar someplace. Thank you, hon. Thank you. Just come on up. If you're somebody here today and you've been holding back on God, holding back on surrendering your life completely to God, you know, this is your day. You don't have to leave it till tomorrow. You can deal with it right now. And it's not difficult. Those of you that come forward, there's more here. I know there's ones that have hurt in them that God just wants to heal you. Don't wait. Or if you have that thing that's holding you back, come forward and just deal with it. It's very simple. I'm going to close the altar now in 2 minutes, and we're not going to waste time, but this is your chance. Don't leave this moment go. I'll give one more chance, and then we're going to close the altar down. I'm going to pray with the ones that are here because they responded. I know a man. I was friends with this man. And he wasn't walking with God. He was compromised. He believed in God, but he wasn't walking with God. And whatever your theology is on salvation, Jesus says very plainly that you have to follow me, love me with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. Well, he died, and his spirit left his body, and his spirit went outside of the hospital, and he went off looking for his wife, and he came back, and I honestly believe that God was giving him an opportunity to completely surrender to God during those last few moments of his life here on this planet. But you don't know, we don't know if we're ever going to be afforded that opportunity. This is very real. This is not playing games. And God wants to touch you tremendously. If you're that person today and you want to completely surrender to God, come right now. Otherwise, I'm going to close down this altar. Come right now. That's it, young man. Just take a place. All right, let's pray. It's very simple, everyone. It's very simple to do. Jesus knows your situation, whether it's healing, whether it's some thing that's on the inside of you, you want to get it out. Maybe you were wounded tremendously with something that happened to you, a betrayal in some way. There's somebody who has lived in a dark place here. He lived in a dark place, and it's just betrayal. God wants to heal that today. All you have to say is, Jesus, I surrender completely. Now, Lord, heal me completely. Deliver me completely. Set me free completely. And he will. I want you to say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I surrender completely. I surrender that area of my life that has been holding on to me. I confess. I agree with you that it was sin. But today, Lord, I ask that you forgive me, cleanse me, and deliver me. Father, I ask that now in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to say this with me too. I renounce the wicked one. I renounce you, devil, from holding on to those things that would entrap me. I renounce your power and your schemes in Jesus' name. And I ask the blood of Jesus to completely wash me clean right now. Now, Father God, I just pray in the name of Jesus, I command now complete healing, complete restoration, complete forgiveness, a complete, Lord, inner strength. I just pray it right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will invade each one. I pray that that person is praying for healing in their innermost being. I pray that the healing happens right now. There's somebody living with tremendous guilt. You've been living with guilt. Let me tell you something about guilt. There's worldly sorrow and there's godly sorrow. When you're guilty, when you feel guilty, yes, there's a crushing thing that happens, but you can't stay there. Staying there is like saying to God, God, I'm working out my own forgiveness. Even though you feel tremendously bad about what happened, God forgives you. And let me tell you something. The calling of God is still on your life. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned you, that the promises that God spoke over you, that the prophecies that were spoken over you are now disappeared. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that you have encountered sin. You know what it does, but if you completely surrender, God will completely restore. And you've got to confess that right now. You need to say to Jesus, Jesus, I believe in your complete forgiveness. I will not allow guilt and shame to hold me back any longer. I choose to believe the prophecies that were spoken over me will come to pass. I choose to believe, God, that I don't have to settle for second best. I just feel the breakthrough in somebody's spirit right now. Father, I believe that now. In the name of Jesus, somebody is getting that freedom is coming into their spirit right now. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for that freedom that is ours in the name of Jesus. I pronounce these people free. And I pray, God, that you would just visit them again. And again, and again, and again with your presence in the name of Jesus. And then there's somebody here, and I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to close. What's happening with you is you're looking at what you're doing more than what you're looking at God's plans for your life. So when you're looking at what you're doing, you feel so much guilt and shame. But God says, I want you to take your focus off that and put your focus on me and the plans I have for you. And that will give you the strength to fight and go on. So Father, I just pray that for that individual in the name of Jesus. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Can we stand up? I want to give the Lord a clap offering this morning. I really do. Now, I want to explain to you, too, often in these services, God begins a work on a Sunday morning, then he continues it on, and the breakthrough becomes more increased in your life. So I'd encourage you, if you can at all, get back to the meetings tonight. God will speak to you. He will do something in your life tremendous. And you may not know if it's going to happen now or tomorrow, tonight or tomorrow night. God sometimes has said, you know what? I'm just going to break through right now in your life. So Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that God, the words that I spoke, I pray that, Lord, it would go deep into people's lives. And I pray, Father, that the work that you've begun right now, that you will complete it unto the day of Christ in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Praise God. Pastor George.